Good morning, Journey Church. Good to see all of you this morning. A little different this morning, a little less music on the front end. But I hope that was enough to wake you up and engage your heart. If you're visiting with us, I want to welcome you this morning. My name's Vic. So good to have you with us here at Journey. In just a moment, we're going to receive our offering. But if you're visiting with us, inside the bulletin, there's a little card in there. If you would grab that card, fill that out. If you have any prayer requests, you can drop that off in there. Just let us know that you're with us. We don't want you to feel obligated to give this morning in any way if you're a visitor. This is a time for those of us who call Journey home to just continue to worship God as we give this morning. And so as the ushers come forward for the offering, like for us to pray. We often pray for another ministry or mission, missionaries, and when we take the offering. And so this morning, I want to remember, as we are in the process of building a building over off of Beach Boulevard, and we actually have a piece of land there that we're praying that God would sell on the front end of that. And so I just want to remind you, be praying for that, because that would be very helpful in this process if we sold a piece of that land. We also have a group in Guatemala, a mission family who you'll meet actually next week, the Steeds. They're going to be in town. They'll be here for just a little bit, so they'll be sharing next week. But we're starting basically a new ministry called Project for Hope, which is a ministry to single moms and widows. And they have found a piece of land that they are praying and believing God to some way, somehow give them, whether it's providing the finances or however he would choose to do that. And so we want to join them in praying just for God to meet all their needs to continue to be a beacon of light there in Magdalena, in that little village in Guatemala. So as the ushers come forward, let's pray over the offering. Continue to ask God to meet our needs so we could be a blessing to others. And just remember, there's people all around us in greater need. We're blessed so much, and it's so we could be a blessing. Let's pray. God, thank you for taking care of us, for providing for us, and blessing us in so many ways. And God, as we give this morning, we pray that you would take these gifts, multiply them, use them for your kingdom. God, that the message, the good news of the gospel would go out all throughout the world, God. Thank you that you would allow us to be a part of that. God, I pray for this property off of Beach Boulevard, Lord, that you'd bring someone to buy a portion of that land that would just offset some of our costs in that building. And so, God, we just ask that you would move on our behalf there so that, God, your resources, again, would be used wisely. And along with that, we pray with the Steeds and others who are just standing in faith with this ministry in Guatemala, that piece of land that you've showed them, Lord God, that you would move in a way that only you can, change the hearts of people who own that, provide, God, a means to buy that. Lord, we know your heart for those people, those single moms who have to leave their kids at home as they go to work, those widows who can't afford to put food on the table, who would be employed and their kids would be educated and they'd be able to be with their mothers. God, provide a way for that to happen, we pray. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, a couple of announcements as the offering is being received. If you look in the bulletin, I'm not going to go through them all, but there's a men's fellowship barbecue February 17th. I just want to encourage all the guys to come out. Great opportunity to meet some folks, hang out with some guys, eat some good food. On your way out, there's a sign-up sheet on the right. Sign up so we know how much food to buy and to grill. That would be helpful for us. And then there's a night of worship coming up on February 20th. That's the night when we come together, and it's just music, prayer. It's kind of really there's no focus other than coming together to worship God through song. So I invite you to come out to that. Be a great time. We're doing work nights out at the new building on Wednesday nights. So Wednesday at 6 o'clock, there's something for everyone to do if you want to come out and help out. We've been doing that for the last few weeks. We'll continue those. We will have a new service time that's going to begin when? All right, March 1st. I had people emailing like 9 o'clock this week. What are, we need more warning than that. You know, people who weren't in here on March 1st, we're going to begin at 9 o'clock. And that's because if you weren't here last week, we talked about we're blessed to be a blessing. And we are allowing another organization, another congregation, a Spanish congregation, to share our space with us. So we've decided to sacrifice, move an hour earlier so that they could have their service at 11:30. And it's short term, just for a month or two. And we think that that sacrifice will actually be a good thing, healthy for us. And so just encourage you, come an hour earlier, 9 o'clock. And again, last week we talked about comfort versus sacrifice. God's not always about making us comfortable. Jesus gave his life, not so we could be comfortable, so we could have life, and that we would give our life to others. So that's about it as far as the announcements. At the top of that page, it says Living on Mission Stories. If you were here last week, we did something very different. If you missed that, I'm sorry. There's no refunds or there's no... If you weren't here at the end of the service last week, we did something kind of unconventional, and we did a reverse offering, and where we actually passed baskets, and we gave everyone who was here a $20 bill and asked them to pray and ask God who they should bless this week with that and what they should do with it. And so if you see up on the right there, there's a link to our website, and you can read stories of people, how they've been out being a blessing to other people, how God's used that and how he is using that. Really, really cool. So I'd encourage you, go check that out. And it's something you can do on your own, you know. You're saying, but yeah, Vic, give me the $20. Listen, you got it. And, you know, we all have a little extra that we can give. And so just that challenge of, God, how can I bless someone this week? And to listen and think that God would speak to you. That's some of the coolest parts of those stories, is that people go, I never really asked God to tell me something. And God lead me to someone. And hearing how that happened this last week is really, really cool. So I encourage you to check that out. It's on our website. We've been posting those on Facebook as well. Without any further talk on my end, Leonard is going to share the Word of God this morning. If you're new to Journey, one of the things that we think is important is to hear God's Word taught from different voices. This is not a ministry that is a pastor-led or pastor-run ministry. We certainly don't want it to be personality-driven in any way. And so God's raised up people to speak his word, to share it. Leonard is one of those. Lord willing, he's going to be planting a church in the next year. And so I look forward to hearing what God has to say through Leonard this morning. Come on up.
Amen. Praise the Lord, saints. Oh, y'all hip to that, huh? Y'all been to chocolate church before. That's how we do it. Get a little bit of response, wake y'all up. So it's great to be again back in front of you all talking about the goodness of the Lord. If you weren't here last week and got the chance to see a reverse offering, I've seen it done before, but use this in a gimmicky kind of how can we drum up more people to get behinds and seats. And that's not what we're about here at Journey. And to me, it's not like I never had a $20 bill before. But the whole idea that, Lord, I am purposely trying to show love to somebody with the gift you've given me. And so as a church, as we wrestle through our own hoarding, holding on to this is mine, I can do so many things with this, and kind of shifting towards, man, how can I use this to bring glory to God? That was different. And so, you know, we talk about these lofty terms like living sacrificially, living on mission, being compassionate, feeding those, clothing those, that it's different for a church to actually empower you to do that. So that was the big lesson learned in that, and I'm just thankful for that I got to see it. And I pray that, you know, if you use that money for personal reasons, that you would replace that and try it again, and not let it be a Journey-led thing that you would actually do that over and over again. Vic said something that he said comfort versus sacrifice. He pretty much did the intro for my sermon. And I'm just going to piggyback on what he's saying. We're going to carry on. If you missed the last 3 or 4 weeks of sermons, I'm going to really encourage you to get online. You've missed some really great teaching. All right. You don't hear that coming up from here, because Vic will not pat his own self on the back. Let me pat it. Let me tell you, you need to go back and really listen, because we're actually building on little bit by little bit. You know, I think I started out with engaging across racial ethnic lines, and Vic is talking about how we're going to get out of our comfort zone so we can start engaging people in our community. And so it is a natural progression. And today I'm going to piggyback on what Vic was talking about, comfort versus sacrifice. Amen? Amen. Amen. Because we have this problem. We have this problem in America. We have this problem where we've given you great ideas about Christianity as an organization, but we haven't pushed you out of the doors on the mission. All right? We can continue to have more and more Bible studies. We can continue to have more and more epiphanies about what does the Word of God say. But how do we get from just being an organization to be an active, breathing, living organism in society? That is how the world's going to be changed. The world's not going to be changed because they say, wow, look at the church. They do a lot of Bible studies. All right? The Bible studies, and when we get together and we tabernacle around God's Word, should be the launching pad for us to actually go out and start doing the stuff that we read about. Right? Yeah, so a part of that launching out and going into the unknown is we have to really wrestle with, this is not my comfort zone. This is not what I usually do. This is not my normal routine. And so going from comfort to sacrifice, if we re-evaluate what that means, I think we'd be more willing to live sacrificially. Amen? All right. So again, I like to stand when we read God's Word. Today we'll be coming from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 3 through 7. Coming up here. This is the English Standard Version. Starting at verse 3, it said, blessed be the God and Father. Oh, I'm sorry. Y'all read with me. Yeah, we're a family. Starting at verse 3, let's all read together. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. Our hope for you is unshaken, for we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. Amen. Title of my message today is being comfortable versus being comfort. Let us pray. You can go ahead and have a seat, stand, whatever you want to do. It's confusing. I'm sorry. So let us pray. Lord, we just thank you for the grace to be here today. We count it as no small feat that you would allow your people to gather. There are many places around the world where many people don't have this, this benefit of being able to talk about you and be free about it. So we thank you for that liberty. We're going to be pushed outside of our comfort zones to engage people we don't know, maybe not like, to do things that are outside of our normal routine. And today, Lord God, we want to walk away with an open heart and open hands and say, let's do it. And I believe that's possible. We just thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So just our forefathers, God bless them, came to this country. They wanted to create a place where, you know, we could earn a living and we can serve our God without the oppression of kings, right? You know, of these monarchical type figures. And so we created a system where we're government by the people, for the people, all that good stuff, right? So embedded in that, they included the American dream. All right. So we've been indoctrinated to thinking that the prime goal in life is to live the most comfortable life possible, get that house, get that white picket fence, two kids and a dog. I made it. All right. So we've set the bar. But if you read what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, that we're going to experience suffering. And so to go from suffering to be comforted, that's where God wants us. But we've set the bar. This is our baseline. All right. My baseline, Lord God, is that, you know, I'm going to experience the best that life has to offer me. So you spend so much time going from comfort to comfortable that you avoid suffering. All right. So we have to readjust this baseline of that willingness to not just, okay, I'm not going to vilify comfort because I've gone on vacations. I have a nice size home. I have two vehicles. So you know, I'm in that. We're all, by virtue of living in America, we're in that 1%. in case you're not aware of it. We're that 1%. So I can't vilify this comfort that we experience, but what I can say is that we should not avoid suffering just so we can continue to live in comfort. All right? So we're going to start at the story of Titanic. I mean, who's seen that? Yay! So you got the Titanic. And if you haven't seen it, whatever. It's been out long enough. We can talk about it. So the Titanic, I'm going to spoiler. I'm going to just mess up your whole day. And I may save you 3 hours of your life. You may not be able to get back. So Titanic, you have this story. You got the you established the characters. You got, I don't even remember Titanic. Now I'm up here. So you got Kate Hudson and Leonardo DiCaprio. They were Jack and John something, whatever. So, you know, every story you establish the characters, all right? Then something crappy happens, and then story picks up. In case you didn't know, the ship sinks, all right? So something bad happens, and then things pick up, and then you get the happy ending, right? All right. So you'll see this narrative throughout the gospel. When you go from Genesis to Revelation, you see this narrative of the gospel of creation, fall, redemption, restoration. Okay? Why is this important? If you don't have the establishment of who I am in Christ and who He is, and then you establish you experience the pitfalls that life throw at you, the fall. And not that you know, you get the bad guy, you know, that dude who was supposed to marry her. Well, I mean, the bad guy could have been the ship. I don't know. So you get the bad part of the story, and the story, you know, the ship starts going down, and then it picks back up as she falls in love with him, whatever. So story picks up, and so is the gospel. You got creation, fall, redemption, restoration. Jesus comes, saves us, redeems us, and the story picks up. But we don't stop there. All right? The bad, you know, the happy ending is not the redeeming part. It's not as the story makes the turn towards being good. All right, we end on this high note, this happy ending. But God's endings aren't happy, and I'll tell you why. Happy is based upon what happens for you. God's ends are glorious because it's all predicated on honor and worship reflecting back on Him. All right, so if you think you're going to suffer, and if you suffer and trust in God, at the end you're going to be happy, I hate to rain on your parade. That's not how it works. We endure suffering so that we can experience the glory that is going to be reflected on God. So we're not going to avoid suffering, and we're going to talk about how that works. So beginning at verse 3, Isaiah chapter 43, verses 6 through 7. So you say, I don't know why I'm created. I know I want to be rich. I want to be nice. I want to be the top at this, the most handsomest at that. I want to be the highest jumper. And so you set the bar so high of all these things you want to do in life, and you're so stressed out because I don't know why God created me. I don't know why. What is my purpose? Woe is me. Today I'm giving you an answer. It's right here. I will say to the north, give up. And the south, do not withhold. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. That is your purpose. I wish I could hit all the likes on your Facebook and I could come pat you on the back for all how you've gotten yourself all prettied up. But that's not why God created us. He did not create us to be the best you or live your best life now. We were created and formed for His glory. So if you struggle with, should I do this? Should I do that? Answer is, do what gives God glory. Because everybody, we've set the bar so high for being comfortable, and we're striving so much to get to that place of comfort that we totally miss out on what can I do that will give God glory. That's why we created. How do we get over ourselves? How do we escape the desire to be made much of? And we're going to begin by saying that as we start this journey from the shift from living for ourselves to start living for Him, All right, that's the shift. That is the shift for believers. We are shifting from self-centeredness to God-glorifying living. How does that begin? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, right off the bat, you know, the great theologian Mike Tyson said, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth, right? All right? We all have great plans until something happens, and then all of a sudden, you're throwing up your hands, you're ready to quit. All right, so how do we get there? Starting at verse 3 of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. So why would Paul immediately jump to that scripture? Why did he immediately open up his letter? Because he says, praise the Lord, I'm Paul, to all the churches in Corinth and Achaia. Blessed be the God who is the God of, you know, he is, you know, the God, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. So what was happening in the churches in that region were they were getting stories back that Paul was suffering. He was, you know, just getting beaten and chased by people. He wasn't readily embraced. And so things didn't turn out the way Paul expected. But Paul, did, you know, because when things, it's something about people. Now, this is not just, you know, that back then, but even now. When you start experiencing adversity, people start questioning the God you serve. Are you really saved? If you're suffering so much, are you really, because they was like, is he really an apostle? Because all the bad things that are happening to him, Paul doesn't dance around the issue. He goes right off. Hey, I'm Paul. Blessed be the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. He doesn't dance around. He goes straight to the point. And this is what he's saying. My God controls mercy. And he is in control of comfort. So if I'm, you know, experiencing afflictions and sufferings, my God will give mercy to stop it. And my God has the ability to give me comfort through it. So right off the rip, before you even question who I am in Christ Jesus, let me know that if God wanted to take me out of this, he would. If God wanted to give me comfort through this, he would. Because you know what? All power belongs in his hands. He doesn't have to come to your affliction and say, excuse me, sir, tap it on the shoulder. Excuse me, sir, can you please leave Leonard alone? If you were, you know, if it's okay, if you got some free time. He doesn't have to ask for permission. You know, he's not like some mother running around with her baby, like, oh, my baby got a fever. Your child just teething, give him a Tylenol. He's not doing that. He knows what gives us comfort, and he's the person who can stop the hand of adversity. So Paul is saying, my trust is in him. And if this is where he has me in life right now, that's fine. So we're not Paul, but how do we get to that point? How do we get to that point where we're not afraid of adversity? We used to play this game when I was younger. I don't know if it's a man game. So I don't know if girls played it. We used to call it, it's called Mercy. Y'all played Mercy before? All right. So Mercy, you lock your fingers in with somebody and you just bend it back. I mean, it's a man's game. I don't know, women. Y'all played it? Yeah? So, all right. So it's everybody's game. I apologize. So you bend a person's hands back until they call mercy, then they give up, right? All right. So if we cry out to the Lord and he gives us, if he bends our hands back and we cry mercy and he gives us comfort, if we're not experiencing that comfort, that doesn't mean that God doesn't want us to experience. You know, to just go through it, okay? I don't want to give you all this false impression that everything is going to be rosy. You're never going to, you're going to get saved and it's going to be all kittens and rainbows and unicorns. It's not. All right? So 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4. So God, he's the Father of comfort and mercy who comforts us in all our afflictions, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in the affliction with the comfort which we ourselves are comforted by God. This is where you need an up-to-date translation of the Bible. All right, there's a lot of this and that. It goes back and forth, and so you kind of get lost, and it seems like double talk. But let's slowly walk through this real quick. If I'm not loved, I won't be able to show love. If I don't have food, I would not be able to feed the hungry. If I don't have money, I can't give to the poor. If I don't have forgiveness, then how do I forgive others? If you have not experienced God's comfort and affliction, then you will not be able to give it. All right? That's basically what I'm going at. You can't give what you do not possess. All right? Baseline. We got it. Right? We cannot give what we do not possess. We cannot give people comfort through suffering if we have not experienced comfort in suffering. Now, curl your toes up. If I step on them, I apologize. If you're not hitting that wall or meeting that Red Sea, if you're not facing Goliath, if you're not facing adversity, then you may not be playing on the right team. Because that is the life of a believer. Because I want to naturally enjoy the pleasures of my flesh. I naturally want to do what the world is doing. I naturally want to hate those who don't agree with me, don't look like me, don't act like me. That's my natural reaction. That's all of our natural reaction, because all of us are naturally born in sin and shaped in iniquity. So if you are born in sin and you get saved, getting saved isn't God circling this line around you, said, do not cross, Satan. No, he says, hey, go ahead and I let you tempt him. Because guess what? Those moments when you're tempted, those are sanctifying moments. Those are moments where you have to get on your face and say, God, give me strength. Because if it were easy, would we go after God? My son Josh, he was diagnosed with polyonephritis. That's enlargement of his kidney. If you ever see him, he has a scar from here to here. We found out when he was in the womb, and it was stressful because here it is. You just expect everything to go perfectly, and the doctor tells you that, you know, doctor says that, you know, your son has a deformity. He hasn't even come out of the womb yet. And so that was stressful. We prayed and prayed a lot, and we continued to pray throughout. He had a surgery by the age one and a half, almost two, he had surgery. And we got people praying. We sought God, and we got on our face. We fasted. And in that, looking back, you never see God's hand. Like, how does he make things supernaturally happen? How does he, go and give the doctors? We don't see what's happening in the spiritual realm, so we all see just the result. But looking back, I'd be like, man, God really, he really did something. Like, God really, he saw my son through. We prayed and we trusted and we believed in God all the way to the point from seeing his sonogram that he was had an enlarged kidney all the way to the moment where the doctor said, you know what? We did the surgery, something we didn't expect. The kidney was fine. When I experienced God's grace and mercy, it's not just something that I sit back. I have to say, God, I put my trust in you. When I don't know if my son's going to make it with this kidney, he may need another kidney surgery. The other one may shut down, Lord. I'm coming before you. I'm praying. And then God speaks to our heart through those times and says, you know what? I got it. I got this. This is not too big for me. Thank you for putting your faith and trust in me. And so when I come to a brother and sister in Jesus, I share with them that same comfort. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 5. For as we share abundantly in Christ's suffering, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. It is in our wrestling through, dealing with our sin, dealing with adversity, that we're able to engage people and say, God is able to see you through. It's not some theoretical I read in a book. This is something I actually know. And you may say, well, I never had cancer, never had a sick child, never been sick. If you struggle with any sin, if you said, Lord, I'm going to live a life that is pleasing unto you, that hurts because you want to sin. Every one of us have a testimony of trusting God through those adversities. We share abundantly in our suffering so that we may share abundantly in our comfort. We have lost the art of transparency in Christendom. We really have. We have hidden behind this Christianized version of the American dream. We've hidden behind what's going on, nothing, everything's great. So we put on fake smiles and we hide behind our veneer of religion just so we can make people feel like we got it together. That is all our struggles, because we got this pressure to remain comfortable. We don't want to engage the fact that I actually have struggles and I actually deal with pain and affliction. I actually stay up late at night struggling, wrestling with my flesh. This is a reality. This me last night, I slept for an hour. All right? I'm being honest. I'm talking about transparency. I slept for maybe 2 hours last night because I laid my head down and I just allowed the enemy to speak one thought to my soul, and I stayed up all night wrestling with, okay, God, should I not? Should I do this? Should I go left? Should I go right? Should I? And all through the night, all these voices just dealing with me. And if we're honest with ourselves, if we continue to walk step by step in God's path that He's laid before us, that's hard. We have a very real enemy. All right, like I said, you may not be on the right team if you're not facing adversity. So we got to get out of this idea of being a comfort hoarder. Okay, we have to get out of people aren't important enough for me to share this comfort I've found in Christ Jesus. I have to get out. My time is so precious that I can't speak to somebody how good God is. Now, I'm not telling you go out here and be fanatical and crazy and talking to trees and little rodents. I'm talking about engaging people with the good news that God has done something great in your life. You may not have one scripture memorized. You may not have been to any Bible study. But any one of us that calls on the name of Jesus has a story. And the world needs to hear this. So comfortable screams, I'm important. Look at me. I need this. I need a home. I need to eat out every night. I need to look good, drive good, dress good. I need. But being comforted in affliction says, Lord, I depend on you. And then God says, go love your neighbor. Well, that hurts, Lord. Well, go do it anyway. And so as God said, go do it anyway, I wrestle with, this is my stuff, this is my time, this is my talent and treasure. Lord, give. And then God spoke to me, even as I wrestled through this. He said, you know what? Good story. Sit down, son. The disciples, they came to me and said, you know who? You know, he asked the disciples, he was like, who is the greatest? Is it the one who sits at the table to be served or the one who serves? It's like, oh, it's obvious. It's the one who gets served. That's the greatest. But he said, no, the greatest in my kingdom is the one who serves. If your thought pattern, if everything you believe is wrapped around my comfort, I want this. This is important. We got to have that. We got to do this. I don't have time for other people. I don't want to speak about God's goodness. I want to remain comfortable. And God says, be comforted in that struggle. So if you can get off the, this is what I want, you can start saying to other people, you're hungry, let me feed you. If you can get off of yourself, you can say, hey, you're hurt, let me bind your wounds. If you get off of yourself, you can say, as you struggle, I'm right here with you. I might not have the answers, but guess what? We can pray right now that God will see you through this. You will not get the big picture if your view of life is wallet-sized. All right? Think on that for a moment. If your view of life is wallet-sized, is a wallet-sized self-portrait, that's not the big picture. The picture is that we are called to endure sufferings as we struggle with our own sin and our own desires to look after self. And we have to get over those things so we can get on our knees and care for our neighbor. How can we do that? 1 John chapter 4, verses 19 through 21. We love because He first loved us. If anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him, whoever loves God must also love his brother. How can you love your brother if your view of life is wallet-sized? That is not the big picture. The big picture is not things over people, fame over people, individualism over humanity. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 6. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same sufferings that we suffer. When Paul said, I had to ponder that for a minute. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. Now, Paul is talking to believers. He's not talking to non-believers. This is the church. These are actual people who have committed their lives to Jesus. So he's talking to them. He's not saying some, I'm going to suffer so you can be saved. There's only one person who did that. They did it on a cross. His name is Jesus. All right? So a better word we could put there is deliverance. So if I say if God delivers people through my suffering, I have to wrap my mind around the idea that God will use my life as a fuel to show light. We as God reveals light into the world, our lives are fuel. Are we willing to let God use our suffering for his glory? Will we allow God to work through us as we fight against that whole self-preservation mode that we immediately go into and say, you know what, I'm going to look after my neighbor? That to me is good news. And it's all about legacy. Growing up poor, I've always made up my mind that, you know, I don't want my kids to experience the level of poverty that I did growing up. So, you know, I've made it known to them, like, hey, you work hard, you do your best, you be a person of integrity. And then, you know, you can make a living for yourself. Be a good follower of Jesus. Love the Lord. And so I tell them all these different concepts on how to be a productive citizen and a follower of Jesus. All right? Follower of Jesus. I'm leaving them a legacy. Keep that in the back of your hip pocket. Leaving a legacy. Tonight, many of you will be watching the Super Bowl. Nothing against it. But, you know, it just seems like all of a sudden everybody's a fan of this. Of a team all of a sudden. Like, all, you know, like you've been, you know, Seahawks. I remember when the Seahawks were like the Jags of the North, right? Or the West Coast, right? They suck. And now all of a sudden you see Jags jersey with white tape and Seahawks written on it and crayon. So now all of a sudden people are fans going out, buying the hat, buying the clothes. And you know, I understand you want to project yourself into the Super Bowl, so you can be like, hey, man, you know, when they lift the trophy, man, we won. No, you ain't win diddly squat. You just got a lot of merchandise. It's being a fan. But there are so many people in the body of Christ because I own this Bible. I got a crucifix necklace. I wear the fish bracelet. I got this book by this person, this book by that person, and you may be a fan. All right, because When adversity, when the Seahawks begin to suck again, will you still be a Seahawks fan? Now, if you're a Jags fan, you're a real fan because they've never been good. All right, that's a real fan. All right, just joking. So fans own stuff, followers are owned. Followers are owned by the master. We don't put on stuff. He gives us the Holy Spirit, which ironically is called the Comforter. Ironically. Because, pull out this idea of legacy. The Father sent the Son sent the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit sends us. As the Father sent the Son, he sent his Son through a womb of a woman into an adverse situation called a crucifixion. As we get filled with the Holy Spirit fills us. God marks us. You're mine. He owns you. Now go. Make disciples. Love your neighbor. Legacy. And that's what we seek to do, not only with our life, but for the life of the people that we come across. We want them to be a part of this continual idea of God sending the Son, Son sending the Holy Spirit, and we are, as the church, being sent. That's legacy. So a fan versus a follower, follower owns stuff. Fans own stuff, followers are own. And now we're going to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 8 through 12. This is why we have to endure. It says that we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death is at work in us, but life in you. we were in the back praying, and as we were praying, God laid this on my heart, man. We got to lay down our crowns and pick up our crosses. All right, we have to die, and the world has to see it. That you know, I'm not talking about literal death. I'm talking about, man, that part of you that is so rebellious and against God as you're living in sin, that part of you needs to die. We lay our crowns down and we pick up our crosses, and as we die, just as the Lord, as his tomb reeked of death, God the Father raises him up. And that very same life-giving power, as we crucify our flesh daily, as we don't do the things that we say we want to do, God brings life, new life into us. This is the joy of my salvation. Is the joy of the Lord. It is my salvation. As I die to myself, as I walk in the path of righteousness, turning neither left nor right, going down the narrow lane that leads to eternal life, forsaking all the things that the world say. Because it's not just a matter of this is right, this is wrong. Man, we have access to sin. In unprecedented levels, we have access to sin, especially here in America. But it's beyond just having access to sin. It's that choice that even though I have access, Lord, I'm going to walk this path you've laid before me. I'm walking this narrow path, neither turning left or right, but I'm going straight ahead. Amen? This is not an exercise in futility. God is not making you deal with adversity, walk through your life, dealing with your flesh, dealing with the world system that works against you. He's not just doing this like, you know how, you know, you're a kid and an ant on the concrete, and you make them, oh, look at that, oh, that's funny. You make them turn, you make them go the way you want them to go. Oh, look at that, that's cute. Oh, watch that, oh, you got to go around. That's not what God is doing. He's not toying with our emotions just for the sake of entertainment. That is what God is. He is using us to bring the world hope. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 7. Our hope for you is unshaken. For we know that as you share in our sufferings, you will also share in our comfort. So we have to engage each other through talking about how it is to live as a believer. You got that $20 bill, you need to share with somebody. Like, yeah, I had this $20 bill and I struggle with wanting to spend it. I struggle with who to give it to. I struggle with, now that I have money, I'm feeling greedy. You have to share those kinds of moments with people. Because it's those moments that you say, Lord, as I am weak, your strength is made perfect in my times of weakness. I'm dependent on you. It forces you on your face. That's okay. All right? It's all right. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, it said, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. I was in the prosperity movement when I first got saved. I believe, name it, claim it, speak it, and it's yours, right? God wants everybody healthy. God wants everybody wealthy. God wants everybody to have the perfect hair, the perfect smile, and preach in front of thousands, okay? That's what he wants from us. That's prosperity. That's not what James says here. I mean, I don't see anything about riches there. Let me proofread. Yeah, nothing. He said, count it all joy when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. All right, so you have your faith being tested and the end result is being steadfast. So what is he saying? What is he saying is, take it like a boat, You don't just jump into a boat you don't even know if it's safe to go. I'm a sailor, I'm sorry. I'm using a nautical analogy. You don't just jump into something without testing to make sure that, it's sound. So you just put your whole weight and just... God tests us, not for his entertainment, but it lets us know, like, hey, I can do this. Like, I can make it through this. David said when he went, he was a small kid, You know, you had the army of Israel on one side. You had the army, you know, that backed Goliath on the other. And they're just in a stalemate. And so David, like, hey, man, you know, Goliath come down. He's like, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He said, we serve the living God. I've slayed the bear. I've slayed the lion. Like, who is this guy who defies the armies of the living God? How did David get the nerve to even say that if it were not for those adverse moments when he was tending sheep? How does God get you to the place when you can look at that friend who's getting ready to live out the last few years of their life because of some terminal illness and say, you know what? God is able. God will see you through, if not from this life, but from the life eternal. That kind of courage, that kind of truthfulness with people, if you don't experience it for yourself. It is more than just checking the box, I've done this. It's just checking the box, God has walked with me through pain. He's walked with me through suffering, and he can do the same for you. I'm going to go ahead and call up the band. So if you're a daydreamer, if you didn't get none of that stuff I said, you know, because we got different people on different ends of the spectrum. If you're sitting here daydreaming and all you can look forward to is hot wings, beer, and a big screen TV, or if you're the person who was waiting patiently for God to for those test results to come back. So both people on different ends of the spectrum. For the youth, the person who's daydreaming, let me tell you to wake up, because all of us at some point, it's not a matter of if but when, you will meet adversity. For the other person who's waiting on the test results or waiting for a word that things are going in the up and up, let me tell you, trust in the Lord. You got 2 weeks to live? Trust in the Lord. Trust him, if not from this life, but life eternal. Let us pray. Lord, we just thank you that you would allow us to endure sufferings for your glory. And as we struggle with the desire to be made much of, to live comfortably, that you would call us, Lord God. It is a privilege for us to suffer for your namesake. And if that's not you today, let us go home and struggle with that, Lord. Let us engage you in a conversation. Because someday you're going to call us to step out of this boat and into the open ocean and say, come to me. And it's at that place of faith, Lord God, that your name will be magnified and glorified. And that means more than my comfort. And we just give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
I want to invite you to stand. We're going to take a few minutes and, you know, on the front end, we kind of cut the worship time through music short. We're going to take some time and just sit in God's presence, worship through song, and then I'm going to come back up and lead us through a time of communion, sharing of the Lord's Supper. So let's sing a few songs, then I'll come up and kind of lead us through that time, but just ask God by His Spirit to speak to us. Message of enduring suffering, experiencing suffering, and that God will see us through is not a popular one, but it's a reality that all of us face at different times. And so, God, help us to see you in the midst of our pain, to see you in the midst of our struggle. Help us to worship you through it. Holy Spirit, speak to our hearts. Help us to think on you in these next moments, God, to give you glory, to put aside all the stuff the rest of this afternoon, and to realize that this life is fleeting, to realize that one day it'll all end. And what will really matter is a relationship with you. By your Holy Spirit, God, work in our hearts during this time.